Hey y'all, it's Ari and Day here this time. Ari talking and doing the intro. Welcome to Windshield Time. It is Thursday, August 1st, 2019.
Happy August.
Can't believe it's August. What happened to this year? Anyway, we're going to do... do you have anything that you wanted to cover or intros?
Not specifically. I'll do the Satoshi math in the main segment. But I just wanted to say... thanks for tuning in to 95.7 The Jet, Seattle, home of the 80s and more.
I have a very puzzled look at him. Have you been drinking this morning or something?
No, like, what's going on? I have not. No, I mean, because anyway, I just felt inspired to just do a little, have a little fun there. So what are we going to cover, Ari?
I think a little bit of a shorter podcast recording today. Just give some highlights and summaries of things that we took away. I took prolific notes yesterday during the Mark Yusko luncheon, and then
abundant
also
and prolific.
Yeah. And then also we had our first Cascadia Blockchain Council WTI sponsored happy hour yesterday at the WTI office, and so just a couple recaps from that and thoughts, and then that's it.
All right, well, we're gonna have our friend at CoinMe, Dom, roll with the disclosures, disclaimers. Thanks, Dom.
Hi, y'all. This is Dom from CoinMe, or you might know me from the Blockchain Minute, your daily show for the most important story on the blockchain. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn, or zombie, or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of this known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion that may be found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
All right, welcome back. Thanks, Dom. And so I think it's time for the regular podcast Bitcoin update from Day.
This is Satoshi Math. So checking my handy dandy, newly downloaded and very frequently being used Blockfolio app.
Mm-hmm. I use that for pricing too.
It was 10,000. $108 per Bitcoin, which gets you 9,893 Satoshis, the smallest unit of a Bitcoin possible. And yeah, that's the math. So we're above 10,000 again, which you know, makes me feel nice.
Oh, so that's why you're so giddy.
Maybe. I mean, it just...
you had a
just
nice
a good
night
mood.
Out.
Yeah.
Full night of sleep. Coffeed up.
I am coffeed up, hydrated.
Wearing another blockchain t-shirt. Yeah.
So
I'm on the opposite, though.
I know. You had a rough night with the quinoa, unfortunately.
Actually, both kids. I was with both kids for 4 hours. Could not get them to sleep for 2 hours.
Either one of them?
No. Neither of them would sleep. Because the big one kept on waking up the little one because he wanted to pet him. And I couldn't leave him because he was going to have a meltdown.
We are very sleep-deprived, sleep-tortured, the two of us are. We take turns being sleep-tortured by our children.
Yeah, I think tonight's your turn.
Okay.
Okay, great. So do you want me to just give some updates?
Yeah, yeah. Start in with whatever you want to start in, and I'll pepper in with commentary and,
of course,
you know, healthy insight.
I'll hold the table because, you know, remember, I'm sleep deprived.
Yes.
But I did have a giant bowl of food, so I'm good. All right, so Mark Yusko was in town yesterday, and the guy literally did a one-day trip to Seattle from North Carolina. He flew in the morning, did a full day, and then took a red-eye out back to North Carolina. So I'm now in my 40s, and I'm going, I don't know how he handled that, but well, oh my God, power to him. And thank you for doing that for Seattle.
And you used to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were in Vegas with Giftstarter?
Yeah.
And you took a plane back intraday, so yeah. Inside the same day.
Yeah.
You took a plane back so that you could pitch to investors.
Yeah.
Who had no flexibility on when you could pitch because it was some kind of an event.
And they told me like that day. So that day I bought we had just landed in Vegas like the night before.
Oh God.
That morning I found out, crap, I have to be in Seattle. And I was like, should I do it? Oh, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I shouldn't even bother going up to the investors. But, I mean, you have to do what you got to do. So I think it was like a couple hundred dollars round trip. And so bought
the
ticket.
And you were pregnant.
Oh, yeah, I was pregnant, too. So, like, bought the ticket, hauled my ass over to the airport, Ubered on up to Seattle.
Did you leave your laptop at the gate or something like that? Or was that a different time? I think that was
a different time. That was in San Francisco, yeah. But that was just crazy. And then pitched and then hopped on a car in a plane right back to Vegas and then hit the trade show that we were doing there.
It was, I mean, from my perspective, I think it was if you choose not to go and pitch, would you regret it?
Yeah.
You would have probably regretted it.
Avoiding regrets is higher priority than
getting a no.
Getting a no, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like,
so the guy is,
understand Mark Yusko having to do that. And maybe next time he'll be like, oh, I'll stay a night and enjoy more of Seattle. But, oh, so the one thing that I found was really interesting, it's we had a continuation of the North Carolina theme, you know, Days from North Carolina. So Mark Yusko coming from North Carolina. But he's actually a local Seattleite.
Oh,
he grew up here in Kirkland, Washington, of all places. So he's a native Washingtonian. So we'll take credit for Mark Yusko. sorry, North Carolina. I don't know. And then, let's see. Go through my notes. And then I will also do a write-up. And so hopefully one of the media publications around town will publish my commentary on the Mark Yusko visit, similar to
the Caitlin Long
one. Yeah, yeah, so I have to work on that today and tomorrow. Lots of writing. Okay, so, you know, the idea of Bitcoin and why this is such an important new kind of asset. And so he talked about how at one point, or actually over the... can't talk.
Over the long term?
No.
Over the long horizon?
No.
Short horizon?
Over the entire history to date, we've had 775 currencies, paper
currencies.
Oh, the
currencies. Fiat currencies, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
775. Of that, only 25% exist today. So I thought that was interesting. The first to print paper or a currency was China. So that was also an interesting fact.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the problem with paper and fiat-based currencies versus the gold standard, which the America was on for a while, but we got off it. At some point, I can't remember the date.
1971.
Thank you.
The same year Elon Musk was born.
Okay, great.
Yeah. No coincidence. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Well, once you go into a fiat type of currency, you start following a dictator playbook. And so those in power start to amass more and more of the wealth and assets. And then there's a lot bigger and bigger gap between, you know, the working class and those that do not have assets and those that do have assets. And so he was drawing a lot of comparisons to the dictator playbook and what is going on right now across the world and even in the United States, because we are on the fiat.
Massive income gap, right. And also a wealth gap, right. Huge wealth gap right now.
And so another interesting fact, like the Mark Yusko just had an amazing wealth of stats and numbers off the top of his head. So obviously he does the talk very often, but I was just really impressed with the amount of data he was able to share.
Delivery is important too.
Yeah. So 51% of Americans actually own any stock today. I thought that was surprising.
I was
surprised.
Floored on that one, yeah.
I mean, I guess when you think about it, how many people are actually white collar working in, you know, corporate America and still getting maybe 401k benefits?
Yeah.
How many are actually participating in RARAs or Roth IRAs? But you actually have to have extra income, not just enough, you know, you have to be able to pay your home for your food and maybe some gas and
life costs. Yes. Yeah.
And then if you have extra, you might use it for a vacation or a gift, or you might put it into an IRA or something of that sort. So only 51% of Americans are participating. And that's a very surprising statistic. So it really tells you, yes, unemployment rates are really, really low. And yes, everyone is employed, but not everyone is doing really well. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so then he went on and talked a lot about a bunch of other things. But just for our own benefit, you know, one of the things that takeaways that Dave took away with was, maybe we need to take a step back and just like look at where we are. Just remember, like, Day and I are both not normally employed right now working for any company. And so we're living off fumes and savings right now. And so I was like, oh boy, this sounds like a very foreboding state of affairs here. You know, this fiat standard, we're in this recession era that Mark Yusko said we're
pre-recessionary era right now.
So, you know, maybe we might have to go and get like day jobs with companies or something of that sort. And then he mentioned some other stats, right? So when the Fed lowers interest rates, that means actually it's
which
a
they did yesterday.
I know. So yeah. I was like,
that was
oh,
a historic move.
No.
That was Bitcoin's first rate cut in its history, a U.S. Bitcoin? Rate cut. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to believe, but we have not seen rate cuts since 2008,
not
I believe.
Bitcoin related to Fed cut. You said Bitcoin.
Let's start over. So I was saying yesterday's 25 basis points, so 0.25% interest rate cut yesterday was the first in Bitcoin's history.
Oh, okay, in Bitcoin's history.
Yeah,
okay.
Because the last time they cut, and we have a plane going over.
Hi, Blue Angels.
That was like 2008, and so...
And when that happened, right, we went into like a major recession.
Yeah, the Great Recession. And so this is like, you know, the longest running economic expansion that we've ever had, the United States. And so it's just crazy paradoxical. And I think you're going to talk about this, the fact that they cut rates at record low reported unemployment.
Yeah.
Growth in the economy.
Yeah.
And they're doing a preemptive cut, which is very, very... in a politically charged environment right now.
Right. But this also means reading the tea leaves, right? Reading between the lines. Don't not just counting on what's being said on CNN or CNBC or all these different news outlets. Means we have a really, really low strong power. What's the word?
Low strength momentum, like
no, our economic health is actually on the low side. So we are actually very sickly. The economic health of the United States is actually very sickly, even though what we're seeing in the media is that everything's great. You know, all the stocks are up, blah, 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 blah. But really, no. So then Mark Yusko said, we've had the worst 10 years of economic growth since 2009 because we've printed an additional $10 trillion. That's $10 trillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is, but that's a lot of zeros, right?
Yep.
And so he said, in these times, that means there's less global money supply because the interest rates are lower. Global trade is slowing down because also, you know, each of the countries are becoming much more nationalistic and they're closing their borders. That means we have a higher chance of recession. And now, but the big underlined but italics bold was that stocks are going up. So it means there's some funny math going on, which, you know, led to like the housing crisis, right? And lots of other things that have gone on. So Day and I have a date to go and talk about the state of affairs of Day and Airy Dairy. Yeah, so that was really great. Let's see.
So, as you look for the next topic in your notes there. So earlier today, I was watching CNBC with you, and I was saying, oh, looks like the Dow's up 1%.
Hi, Blue Angel.
Blue Angels are going by again. And then now I just glanced down at my phone because I was going to do a quick report.
Yeah.
Now we're basically down 1%. There's a huge spike down because the President of the United States of America says that there's going to be more tariffs on China. So it's a continuation of the fear, uncertainty, doubt on the trade wars going on right now.
Yeah.
And I was a little, you know, maybe it's a reaction to that, but now Bitcoin's up another $100 from where I reported, or it's up a little bit.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the net, because this is not financial advice, those that are in the equities market, which is what he was hammering on, get out and put it into something else, you know, like illiquid assets or alternative assets like Bitcoin. And so I was taking notes on that, and I was like, oh, man, we got to really think about how we're going to survive this big recession until, what, 2024, 2025, and make sure that we're actually not just surviving it, but also, you know, doing well in how we're managing
as well
our assets.
Yeah.
All right. So then, I have pages and pages of notes, right? So, so, you know, a lot of people that are very pro fiat or pro USD and anti Bitcoin will say, but, you know, will argue that Bitcoin isn't real. It's just like digital, right?
It's a magic internet money is the phrase that people like to call it.
Yeah,
derogatively.
Magic internet money was, air quote, the shit coins, the utility tokens that happened in 2017. But Bitcoin is not, you know, magic internet money anymore today, right? Like when it first came out, you know, 10 years ago, maybe it was, you know, magic internet money for the first 3 to 5 years, but it's now past that.
Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, okay.
Some people will say all of it, no matter what, categorically, completely and totally, is all magic internet money used for crime and bad deeds. Not the case.
No.
Not the case. I think if you look at it on a, you know, holistic basis, not the case.
Right.
But in the past has been more commonly true.
Right. And then his talk track for the second third of his talk was very similar to that of Anthony Pompliano's when he was in town. And so it was very much about, did you know that only 8% of money is actually in cash and coins today? 8%. That's a single digit. 8% of USD is actually in cash and coins. The rest of it is digital. So we are already, as a country, 92% digital currency. The USD is 92% digital currency. So that was also interesting. He talked about Napster, and the problem with Napster is that the artists and the content creators were not getting credit. People were just making copies. There was a lot of, you know, illegitimate, not so great activity going on. But with Bitcoin, there's a public ledger. It's permanent. It's immutable.
It solves the double spend problem in digital assets. Yeah,
and also the counterfeit problem, right? Like, I can't make a dollar and, you know, write an email. When I send you a document, I have a copy of it and you have a copy of it. Who has the original and who has the proper copy of the document? Oh, and, you know, also the servers have a copy of the document.
Computer servers, right? The cloud computers, the servers, yeah.
Right. And then if you print it, there's another copy. And so there's just multiple copies of a particular document. It's a really difficult thing to manage in the world of digital. And that is one of the things that blockchain solves. Oh, he talked about BYND. And so Beyond
he's
Meat.
He's not a fan of the food.
He was not a fan of the food. He was an early seed investor. So I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, like,
of,
you know, going from cents or maybe even a dollar to, like, where it went at that high, what,
240?
240.
Yeah, it's down again today, though. So.
Ooh, what's it at? What's it at?
Let's see here. Small pause.
$173.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when you think about it, like, Beyond Meat was up over $200, but is the company worth more than, like, an Apple? Is it worth more than, like, a Facebook in terms of traction? Their shares are at the 200-ish range. Also, Microsoft, you know, it's not even at 200. It's at $140 right now. So when you start thinking about this more, you know, commonsensely, you go like, Beyond Meat sounds a little expensive right now. I mean, if you just look at their revenues and their profits to their market cap, there's just a huge, 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 huge markup. And so that was one of the reasons why I called and said, we need to get out of BYND. So we recently got out of BYND.
And we talked about that with the special little podcast session that we had with Mark Yusko.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And we were talking about women investors, women speculating investors.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the not just anecdotal data, which I was, you know, pleasantly, you know, informed of. It's actually hard data that proves that when women get into investing, they sometimes they do a lot better than the men do. Yes.
Yeah. I'd rather have, you know, a few apples in my hand than nothing at all, right?
A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
Yeah, however you say that. All these like American sayisms, I can't remember ever. So he also mentioned reading a paper by Terry O'Dean called Boys Will Be Boys that talks about this, and then his favorite movie, Vantage Point. So those are my list. Uh-oh, timer going off.
Oh, you have a call right now.
I have a call.
Okay. So do you want to wrap it up or do you want to pause? Okay, so let's pause. Oh, let's play one of Tatiana's songs right now.
Okay.
Let's play one of Tatiana's songs. How about
the Bitcoin jingle?
The Bitcoin jingle. Awesome. Okay. So let's roll that right now and then we'll come back and finish up the session.
Okay.
I didn't want to give any of my money to a nation based on war. I wanted to be free, nothing holding me back from where I want to go. I thought about it, what was the choice that I made? It was you take away the money, don't give up your money, use Bitcoin whenever you pay. Use Bitcoin whenever you pay. I didn't want to waste any of my time working for the government. I wanted to be kind, open up my mind, just like an instrument. I thought about it, what was the choice that I made? It was you take away the money, don't give up your money, use Bitcoin whenever you pay. Use Bitcoin whenever you pay. What a little crypto can do. No longer a slave. I don't have to work until the grave. So many times I tried to myself that we didn't have a chance. Nakamoto came along with more than a song, gave the labor back to man. I thought about it, what was the choice that I made? It was you take away the money, don't give up your money, use Bitcoin whenever you pay. Use Bitcoin whenever you pay. Use Bitcoin whenever you pay.
Thanks again, Tatiana, for introducing us to the Bitcoin jingle. Maybe Aries heard it a bunch before, but that was my first time hearing it. And it's one of those super catchy songs that does not leave your brain once it gets in there. So thanks so much. And much love from Seattle on August 1st here.
Yeah. And if you guys get a chance, you know, follow Tatiana online. She's at Queen Tatiana, or she has a podcast also called The Tatiana Show. And now she has a new one called Proof of Love, where she talks about relationships. So
yeah,
both worth checking out.
I think you and I are, you know, proposed guests on Proof of Love.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting just because of, the whole, Venn diagram, the overlap of, you know, us being married and us liking stuff like Gottman, and then us working together on this podcast and discovering new ways that we can fight and
Each other.
fight and like each other in different ways.
It's definitely a growth process. Yeah. painful growing process. It's a growing process.
All right. Awesome. So what else do you have as far as the Mark Yusko visit?
I mean, I could go on and on. So it's really hard to like, I'm curating on the fly. looking at my notes. So, you know, he had the similar talk track to Anthony Pompliano, where I was talking about why Bitcoin. It really is the evolution of digital. And I just gave you the email example. He talked about how early we are. So we're not completely brand new early. As much as 7% of people in North America know about blockchain. So I thought that was a good statistics. You know, the fact that we're at 7%, it's not just 1% or less than 1%, where as many people may assume, we're at 7%. So that's actually a really good indicator that this is now, you know, starting into, you know, the S curve, right? So now it's coming out of the unknowns and becoming more known.
Well, so he said blockchain, mm-hmm. but you think that's just for blockchain, or you think that's for Bitcoin too? Because I'm pretty sure awareness for Bitcoin is a lot higher.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was just for blockchain. And the thing is, you know, the thing that we're doing with the council is really educating people. Not all blockchains equal Bitcoin, and not all Bitcoin equals people in evil hoodies doing money laundering and Silk Road stuff, right? Like, this is all wrong. And so people
The CEO of Bitcoin has a marketing problem. And we're both laughing because there is no CEO. It's a completely distributed, decentralized, open source platform.
Yeah.
So there's no one that you can haul into Congress to grill them for hours and hours in hearings.
Right. Yeah. This is not something that any government or state or corporation can kill, because it is decentralized, and it's gone beyond that point of inflection point. You know, it's crossed the chasm of, I don't know if this is going to make it. It's going to make it, as many of us are betting right now.
Yes, very much so.
So, oh yeah, he did say 1971 is when the gold standard moved to fiat.
Again, yeah. Same year that Elon Musk was born. Yeah. That is not a coincidence, y'all.
Actually, there's a lot of people, 1971. It's a big year of a lot of movers and shakers today.
Mm-hmm. Gen X, man.
No, millennial. Actually, I don't even know what I am. I'm in the in between.
You're a hybrid.
I'm a hybrid. So there's some really good questions about the store of value and correlation. Captured a lot of it, so we'll be sharing that, snippets of that in another podcast session. And then we had a separate session where we got to talk to him. We asked him a bunch of questions. So here's a preview. We talked to him about the world of payments. We talked to him about the trust net. We talked to him about... So for a guy that's really, really, you know, a strong evangelist about the world of Bitcoin and blockchain, offhandedly, as he was, you know, coming into the room for the luncheon, for instance, or went after everyone had left and he had just sat down to have a drink and, you know, eat some food, you could tell top of mind for him is health and family.
Yes. Health is wealth, is the saying. Yes.
Yeah. And he literally, you know, walked the talk. He wasn't just saying it. You could really see it in his actions and the things that he said when he wasn't being primed to give his presentation as Morgan Stanley's CEO and chief investment officer. He was talking about health. And I found that really, really, I don't know, just like he has a whole human side to him. And then you ask him about, you know, he's wearing this friendship string bracelet. You know, he's got a suit and tie and he looks like a banker. Of course, he's wearing the gold versus Bitcoin on a scale tie that's covered with him, which was really interesting. You ask him about this friendship bracelet and he's like, you know, my son gave it to me. And so you could see that, you know, family is really, really important to him. The fact that he did a, you know, day trip to Seattle from North Carolina just so that he could spend more time with his family is also very telling. And so really respected that of him.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, when you're in a very fast-paced and high-pressure kind of a, you know, role and work, it's hard to have discipline in drawing lines between when work stops and when family and regular life starts, and when you have to, you know, take care of yourself, you know, eat right, sleep right, exercise, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So hard.
Yeah, balance, you know, never ending search for some sort of balance in your life, you know, as time progresses.
Right. And then, obviously, he consumes a lot of content. Because I know Dace right here consumes a lot of, like, just obscene amount of content. I can't even describe, because he's always doing something, reading a book or reading an article or listening to some sort of podcast or video. It's insane. And so... you could tell Mark Yusko also consumes a lot of content, and literally like every 5 minutes he was like, the best book in the world for this is blah blah blah, the best articles blah blah blah, the best papers for blah blah blah. And so I was writing as fast as I could in all of these best books, papers, articles, movies that Mark Yusko wrote. And so maybe we'll include that in the podcast show notes, his best, because there's a lot of them.
And we have to work on our detailed, full podcast show notes for every single episode on windshieldtime.studio. We're getting a big backlog on it, because if you're listening out there, anchor.fm, I do like you guys a whole bunch, and the ease of onboarding onto multiple different platforms is awesome.
So great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But the one drawback that I'm seeing right now is that the show notes are limited in character length.
Yeah, but I bet most podcasters are doing a half-assed, not great job of their show notes. They're just doing barely anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we, mostly you who started this, are taking it to a whole nother level because you are extremely detailed. I think we're going to be one of the minorities on this case.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Complaining about that feature. Yes. But anyway, so we're just going to fix it ourselves by, listing the episodes on our windshieldtime.studio eventually, and then posting the entire length of the massive show notes.
That's my other project I got to work on, like updating the website. So I'll get on that too.
Thank you.
Thanks. I love websites. Yay. Yeah. So look forward to our next podcast or upcoming podcast where we talk about, you can hear the interview with Mark Yusko directly.
I got to post that probably next week.
Profound amount of information he has and experience. And he's such a nice guy, like super, super nice guy. You could see the Southern roots, but you could also see the super, super Washingtonian roots, because, you know, Washingtonians here, we're very wholesome and very nice too. Yeah, and very appreciative of the opportunity to Morgan Creek for giving us that opportunity. So shout out to the whole Morgan Creek team.
Yeah, yep. Crypto Lina in the house.
Crypto Lina. I can't believe that. Anyway, that's all I have. Mark Yusko, extremely awesome and very inspiring.
Very, very inspiring. Yes, I'm gonna do more content consumption now. to your delight.
You're down like several rabbit holes right now into like the level 5 or 6 range now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Austrian economics, dude.
Yeah, I know.
I think you should go back to college, like take some classes, be a econ minor and business minor, accounting minor or something like that, finance minor.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know.
That means we have to go into debt. Because that's, if you go get a higher education, that means you go into debt, like, you know, 5 to 6 figures of debt.
Yeah,
and I don't want to do that.
Honey, I think you can audit the classes. Like, we're not looking for credit here. We're just looking for learning.
Do you have to pay to audit the classes,
though? No, I don't think so.
I think you got to pay.
I don't think so.
You got to pay to play,
baby.
We're
in-state, baby. We're in-state. Worst case, there's the University of the YouTube.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, everything is out there.
Yeah.
Literally everything is not a virtually everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything is out there.
Yeah.
And I just need to be able to find time to go and find it and absorb it.
Oh man, there's not enough time for anything. Anyway, we had the WTI Cascadia Blockchain Council happy hour yesterday for
that
the first
awesome
one.
Awesome turnout. A lot of
it
fun.
It was a great turnout. I think we had as many as like 45 people show up, which was more than I was expecting. So was really great. Nick is really good at curating food. Like the other event, you know, he helped sponsor with the WTA.
Oh yeah, Dick's Burgers.
Like,
yeah,
Dick's Burgers was delicious. Yesterday it was Izelle's fried chicken and the whole works of sides.
Oh yeah,
so that was really
delicious.
Awesome.
It's a Seattle landmark that has been populated in United States culture by Oprah Winfrey. Remember?
Yeah, I hear like she ships out Izelle's fried chicken once a month all the way over to Chicago. So it's very delicious. So thank you, WTI, for hosting and sponsoring.
Thanks, WTI.
And then it was just really great to see people in the room. So I used a lot of the same techniques that I did when I was holding socially conscious bar nights. So, you know, I would meet somebody for the first time. They'd be like, oh, I'm really interested in real estate and blockchain. And, you know, I have a real estate background. I'd be like, oh, do you know Prague Freeman? He's like, no. So I said, oh, you need to meet him right now. Walk him over. And so get them talking. And so as often as possible, I was trying to connect people if they hadn't met
do
the right person.
Warm introductions of people, yeah.
Extreme warm introductions. And I think that's what makes networking and community events work. And very often, actually 99% of the time, it doesn't happen. And so it's a tip for the community organizers out there. Know who's in the room. Do whatever you can to do warm introductions of people in the room so that they'll come back, because that's where the value at is in networking and or events. So we'll be having them monthly. I think the next time we'll be having it at the Optimism Brewery.
Oh, really? Not
yeah,
the,
yeah. So,
okay.
So the WTIA space is a little bit small, so we can only limit it to maybe like 30, 40 people. So when we want to expand it to like everybody in the blockchain community, we're going to go over to the Optimism, which allows us to expand into that space. And then
you can bring your own food.
You can bring your own food. You can go out for food. So it allows for more of the, you know, air quote second date nature, where, you know, people meet at the first event at the happy hour and they can go off to a second event or date or place to really solidify the relationship. So, that's what we're going to be doing next month. And then we're still looking for speakers to lock down for the speaker series. So I'm still working on that. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. So I have one ask to wrap it up here. And it's based on the Bitcoin Pizza Day idea sharing recently.
Yeah.
But if there's anybody out there who knows people in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, Domino's Pizza headquarters, and if you can make a warm introduction to the idea of coordinating the single largest purchase order for pizza in the history of the world on Bitcoin Pizza Day next year, I think it's May 22nd, 2020.
Yeah.
That's the anniversary of 10,000 Bitcoins that were used. And I don't have the guy's name off the tip of my tongue, but I'll have to find it. 10,000 Bitcoins were used to purchase two pizzas.
Yeah.
And so it is a very culturally well-known event of the past that is celebrated. And so I have this crazy notion that because Domino's has probably the most stores in the world.
Network distribution.
Exactly. So they have the depth, the breadth, the technical capabilities to coordinate an accumulation of pizza orders so that people can either have them delivered or pick them up on May 22nd, 2020 to celebrate Bitcoin Pizza Day. And it's one of these, crazy sort of like, you know, marketing ideas. But first and foremost, I just think it'll be so much fun to be able to be a part of something so big to commemorate a historic moment in the history of Bitcoin and, you know, blockchain and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the halvening is happening next year too, so it's more reason.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Because
it's supposed to happen. Yeah, the halvening is supposed to happen in May next year too. So I mean, what more like momentum do you need to get all this kind of extra business exposure and marketing and all that kind of stuff. So please let us know. Let me know. At Luggage Donkey is my handle on Twitter.
Yep. Well, that's about it for today. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate ratings, comments, and sharing of Windshield Time with your friends. And really, like, if you would take 2 seconds to give us a quick rating and or a comment, we'd really appreciate it.
The shiniest 5-star rating possible.
we'll, you know, ping us. If we can figure out who you are, we'll send you some stickers.
Yeah.
Or I'll come find you and I'll hand them to you myself. And together we rise.
Thanks for listening, and be nice to each other out there, y'all. Thanks.
Bye.
This here's Dewey Newcomb from ABC Rentals, and I'm from Alabama. And none of the statements here or the opinions expressed on this here podcast by the guests or its hosts are to be taken as financial or legal or even psychological or dietary advice or a solicitation of any kind, all right? To participate in a conservative or even a risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, the SEC, and I ain't talking college football, Roll Tide, independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. I don't even know what that means, but whatever. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts, Arian Day and their guests, are not financial advisors. No. Matter of fact, they're not even legal scholars of any kind. They're just humans. They're not even sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of this space-time continuum of the known universe are purely ironic and coincidental. And that's just freaky weird. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion found in this here podcast are fully your all responsibility, all right? And your own reaction, so you gotta deal with that on your own. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised, y'all. Thank you for listening.
2 years ago.
Oh, that's how you and Pop met.
Yes, how we met. Yeah, so we both invested in a later stage deal, but didn't spend much time, 15, 20 minutes. And then about a year later, I started following him on Twitter, and I was like, I would have said that. I did say that. It's like, I said it was like talking to myself. I was a younger, better looking version of myself. But I said, I got to meet him. And when I met him, instant. Right. It was like, and being around him and the group of people who are all much younger than me, it's energizing. So that's a big part of where the energy comes from. Plus, awesome. I love this. I mean, I really do believe this is one of the technological evolutions or revolutions of our lifetime. Right. And if you can't get excited about it, I don't know why not.
Yeah.
I was really, really happy to see that you used the word evolution instead of revolution, because it really is the natural evolution. Like, I've been in digital forever, too, myself.
Yeah.
Thank you first for sitting down with us, realizing that your time is very valuable.